welcome to the Real Growth Podcast. On this episode, we are meeting with somebody that's went through real growth in many ways, mostly in muscles. I mean, that's why we're here to talk, right, James?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
The Real Growth Podcast is all about people that have grown in business, people that have grown in life, people that have grown in real estate. And I'm excited for this episode because, one, James lended us his studio, which is an amazing studio, and I'm going to take full advantage of it as many times as you'll absolutely let me. And two, because James and I have a history that you'll be able to learn more about, that I'll be able to just think back to the good old days and think back to where we are today. And so without further ado, James Keller, who are you? Where are we? Where are you from?
Well, that's the wrong one. It was supposed to be a clap.
I'll give you the clap.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You really threw me off with that muscle line. I didn't really know what to say. So that congratulations.
That's what I've been thinking about.
Yeah,
this
that was
morning.
Pretty good. What was your question? Who am I?
Who are you? Give us the origin story.
I am James Keller. I am currently a tattoo artist. I own a tattoo shop here in downtown. I have been around the business industry for many, many years in this town. I've wore several hats and had my hands in many, many different things. And I've always felt that you and I kind of came up in the business community in this town at the exact same time, kind of as like brothers, as we were speaking about earlier. You know, we went through a lot of the same things, the same ups, same downs. And we really experienced business together for many, many years.
James, you know, the title is Real Growth. And when I say that, I think there's no better way to start looking into someone's real growth than going back on their Facebook posts.
Oh, boy.
So this morning, I was I just typed in your name in my Facebook, and I started scrolling, and I started looking back. And some of the photos that I see...
I was going to say, I think I made a lot of them private, so I'm curious now what happened.
So some of the photos that I see, you know, there's the obvious brand of you affiliated with Crotch Rockets.
Okay.
So that's one thing I see.
Yeah.
Another thing that I see is you with a backwards hat and not always giving the right finger, but it's okay.
I still wear the backwards hat.
And that finger is very apparent in some of those photos. There is photos of you with different sign companies. There was one, I appreciated this one. There was one with Marcus Sherrills where he's holding up a picture of you that's autographed. And it's just cool to see the connection to, you know, somebody that has went through real growth himself, Marcus and yourself. There are photos, a lot of photos of you and your children, your son at a very young age. There's photos now of you being a tattoo artist. So that being said, when I say real growth, how would you describe some of that real growth that can be found through your Facebook photos?
That is an incredibly good question, Bucky, because, you know, you get so caught up in the current times and what you're working on and things. And oftentimes you don't look back to, you know, where you really came from. You're always so hyper-focused on where you're trying to go that you don't necessarily look back and you're like, wow, I really have came quite a ways. A lot of maturing, I guess. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I've grown up, you know, and I've learned more about the person that I want to be. I've learned more about the person that I want myself to be for my children. I've learned more about the person I want to be in business, and I've really just matured through all of it. So yeah, there was a lot of fingers, I'm sure. There was a lot of not great, there was a lot of not great language. There was a lot of things that I wouldn't be proud of anymore. But, you know, I mean, it's good to look at the growth that's came from all of that stuff.
And if you had to describe some moments of just growth for yourself personally, what are some things that stand out? Because I knew you when you first started in the sign business, you were working for somebody. And then from there, you just had this entrepreneurial hunger to do your own thing. That's something that a lot of entrepreneurs have, is just that desire to want to do their own thing, be their own person in business. And I saw you start to go through that. So what are some moments of real growth that you really stand out in your journey through business?
I think back then I just had too bad of an attitude to work for anybody else. So I was kind of forced to be my own boss. I was the only one that could put up with myself. I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of ups and downs in it. And I think every time you get knocked down in business or in life, you inevitably learn something. So whether that's as little as just a bad business deal or you know, a business folds, let's say, I can't even think of any of my businesses that really folded necessarily, but like all of those things you learn from. And there's so many times that I learned throughout my career, most of them looking back were because of kind of the attitude that I had and the pride that I had and the ego and just the idea of who I was and trying to portray something to a lot of people and trying to, you know, be an influencer before influencers were even influencers, you know what I mean? And trying to just fake it till you make it. And I think a lot of my downfalls came from that, for this false idea of like success and what people would think success was. And I think that's where my most growth came from, was accepting the fact that like this idea of success to a lot of people isn't really success when you get it, you know? And I think relationships that were strained and different things throughout my business career, my business journey, were things that really helped me exponentially grow. Because, you know, when you're at the highest of your peaks, you know, you tend to shut off everything because you got a beeline that you're looking for all this stuff. You're trying to acquire this amount of success and whatever that idea is. And then, you know, once you get there, then you're like, oh man, I'm here alone. You know, it's that kind of idea. And that really, I think, is what helped me grow the most through all of it. I could give you all a bunch of feel good anecdotes about how great everything is, but I don't know. I just like to be real and say, like, throughout all of that stuff, I really grew a lot. Because I really had no choice, because I learned things the hard way a lot. Back then, when we were first starting and we were going through all of this stuff, it wasn't really the same kind of environment as it is right now for young entrepreneurs and young business people. It was kind of a lot more like hard knocks kind of lifestyle. There wasn't so much mentorship that was just everywhere at your disposal, you know? So a lot of it was like, okay, I'm gonna try, I'm gonna mess up, and I'm gonna grow from that. And then do that again and do that again and do that again. But that's a hard way to do it. But I mean, I don't know, sometimes the hard way is the best way to do it, you know?
One thing that you say about just being available mentorship, and you look at like Collider in town, and you look at, I think what has happened in the business realm, not only in Rochester, but all over, it's the introduction of the internet.
Absolutely.
And the internet makes the world so much more accessible. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, I feel like people are less hidden in what they're doing and trying to hide their cards. I compare it to like a poker game, because they recognize that by collaborating, by sharing, by having mentors or being a mentor, it's going to lead to more opportunity for all. Mm-hmm. And I think the internet just opens people's eyes to be like, I don't have to think just about one, myself, which is not a always great way to think. And two, I don't have to think about just Rochester as where my customer base exists, right, thanks absolutely. To the internet.
That's exactly it. Now you become, instead of being a local entrepreneur, you can become a global entrepreneur.
And it doesn't even, when you say global, like, it doesn't even have to be worldwide. It can be in a niche, which we should talk a little bit about your niche of what you've grown to now, but it can be within a niche and be known within an industry that you're passionate about that becomes
right
very beneficial to those that are learning from you, and two, those that you're learning from, because there's such I see it in commercial real estate, there's such a crew of people that are forward thinking when it comes to marketing and using the internet to their advantage to help their business. So,
and I think that goes back to, like, we used to speak many years ago, again, when we were really getting into all the, you know, when video just started getting big and all that stuff, that, you know, I spoke about influencers earlier and just the idea of influencers. I think that has changed so much. Where when I think of what an influencer is, it's kind of exactly what you said. In that niche, if a person's here or in California or wherever else, if they think about commercial real estate, who is the person that pops into their mind, right? I think locally, absolutely, it would be you, fortunately, because you've done it right for many, many years. And I think that's the influencer lifestyle right there. If I think about commercial real estate in Rochester, automatically Bucky Beeman pops into my mind. So I think, and then you've also progressed that into your digital brand and gone, you know, nationwide, and you've been to events and you've done all this different stuff and coach people and help people. And I think that's truly what an influencer is. It's not necessarily somebody on Instagram selling makeup. or something. It's somebody who's actually influencing a niche that they're into.
Yeah, very true. And there's some niches that are extremely broad. Like I'll use transportation as a broad niche per se. And then you could get into even further niches of like transportation that is related to trucking, transportation that's related to medical transportation. You can, thanks to the internet, find your people and you can build out relationships and you can build out opportunities and you can build out knowledge within so many different sectors, which back to yourself and back to the beginning, it wasn't as easy to do so. And so here you are building, as I know, a sign company, and you felt as though you had to really, really do it yourself and take a lot of the weight yourself and just try to be the man. Yeah. and that comes with a lot of trials and tribulation through that journey of being, you know, a solopreneur, if you will.
Right. And I think like in a service business like that, it's even harder because, you know, being an influencer, being somebody in that kind of lifestyle is a little bit different to try to build a brand on it. So it really gets down to like that lifestyle business kind of thing. I think when you do have when you're in an industry like that and you're doing a service kind of thing, I think it's a lot more. I think the digital presence and the branding and all that stuff is going to be completely different than somebody who's actually trying to build a brand that is influential in their industry. I mean, you can do it, but that's not really what I was doing back then. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting thing about niches also is that there's a niche for everything these days. So literally whatever weird thing you're into, like because of the internet and because of this age of unlimited communication, like there are other people who are into that same thing.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
And it's ever changing. So just recently a hashtag came up on Twitter called Retweet, which stands for real estate Twitter. And it's no longer like I was living in the hashtag of CRE commercial real estate, which was a very small niche. Mm-hmm. Now with Retweet, you see conversations that are from bankers. You see people that are raising money to buy properties. Mm-hmm. You see the commercial agents, the residential agents. So yeah. It is ever changing as Absolutely. Far as your ability to connect, which then in turn, I think as an entrepreneur can open up your mind to, wow, it's a big world out there.
Yeah,
I need to get over myself of being worried about this one simple thing in our market. How can I take this experience and be able to build upon it to be able to do more?
And gosh, you're able to connect with so many more people that way that, I mean, there are people across the nation that are looking for investment properties or things like that, especially in Med City with the era of DMC and all this stuff. You know, there are people all over the place that are like, oh, I'd love to just get a piece into that, you know? And now because of that connection, you've got the ability to reach out to all these people at one time. It's not a local little, you know, fishing pond that you're trying to connect with anymore.
Yes. So I'm going to tell the origin story because I feel like you haven't quite told it just yet. So I'm going to...
Honestly, I kind of got lost. I kind of forgot your question and I just kind of freestyled. So
the origin story that I would tell is that you're passionate about design. You're passionate about the sign business. You're passionate about creating things that aren't currently in the physical world and making them physical through signage, through branding, through things of that nature. And so that passion leads you to developing a sign company. Mm-hmm. And that sign company relatively quickly, due to your marketing, due to your talents, due to your ability to get the word out, grows pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of business. That's how we connect because I need help with creating signs. And then you're ultimately the go-to person for me creating signs. Mm-hmm. Through the sign business, you change your name several times. Mm-hmm. So there was Recon Signs. Mm-hmm. There was Vital Signs. What ones am I missing? Impact. What was another one?
That was it.
So if we talk about that, what did you learn? What were the growing steps through changing your name? Why? And should that be something that a business owner does?
First off, absolutely not. That should not be something that a business owner does. It was incredibly hard, but the one benefit that I had was when I built the original brand, it was hyper-focused on me. So I was the brand, which is where I could rabbit trail here also and say, like, that's the wrong way to build a business if you're trying to scale it. So when I changed names, I really had to push forward that it was me that was... you know, the attraction, let's call it, or the value behind this new brand. But the reason that I did it was because the business had gotten too big for me at this point. It had grown exponentially fast. I was extremely blessed and worked really hard and it got really big. And it was too big for me anymore. And I was to a point where I knew, like, I can't get any bigger unless I bring on more people. My workload was just completely topped off for what I could handle. And it was either I keep up this and try to sustain it and I start losing contracts and losing customers because I just can't handle it anymore by myself, or I bring on a bigger team and go from that. So I decided to bring on partners, and with that came money for, you know, new equipment to do bigger things and everything else, everything that I kind of wanted, everything that I was working for. But the partnership did not work, and things happened that I won't really get into with local people that, I mean, at the time I wasn't mature enough to handle it very well, but it was some stuff that was pretty dirty in my opinion. And I ended up leaving that company then. And I didn't know what else to do, man. Like, I was a sign guy. Like, I didn't know what else to do. So I hooked up with another person because at this time, like, everything I had was wrapped up into this business. So then when I left that business, I was like, man, I don't have any of my equipment. I don't have any of my anything. At this point, they kept my name that I had built. They kept all my equipment. They kept my location. I don't know if they kept my location, but they had everything that I had built for the last handful of years. So then I was like, all right, well, I need somebody else because I don't have the money. I don't have the capital. Now I'm at this point where customers are expecting this type of work from me that I had built with all this nice equipment and all this nice stuff. And now I can't go back to an Amazon little piece and be like, okay, like, I'll work my way back up again. Like, I wasn't at that point anymore. So I had to go all in again so I could sustain the people that I had. And I hooked up with somebody else, and I don't really remember anymore what happened, but that didn't work out. And then I hooked up with somebody else, and I kind of just kept replaying that and just trying to stay afloat and figuring out what partners I could work with and who I didn't think was going to take advantage of me back then. Now I know, like, a lot of it was like my own pride and stuff. I think that there was a lot of stuff that wasn't very good as far as like business relationships go with both parties. But I now understand that I had a lot bigger role in all of it than I felt like I did at that time. And that just came from, I mean, all these things just helped me grow, you know, like, to get me here today. It was extremely hard, and I don't know, man. I wouldn't recommend that whole deal for anybody. But going back, yes, you should not change your brand. If you have a brand, build your brand. And if you are building your brand, my number one takeaway on all of that is don't build your brand on yourself unless in the long run yourself is what you're selling, because you can't scale yourself. You're just you. So if you're planning on scaling your brand, you need your brand to be a separate entity of you. Otherwise, it'll never outgrow you.
I love it. I think that one thing that stands out to me is, and I just know this about you, and it's similar of where we connect, is like, you feel you can outwork any problem. Absolutely. So as the problems continually happened, and now you being mature enough to recognize that you played a role in some of those problems, right? Mm-hmm. It's always our fault just as much as it may be someone else's fault. Yep. And I love, like, watching Gary Vee. He always talks about, like, if there's problems within my company, I got to go and point at myself and go, why did I allow that to happen, right? And it's not easy to do in a young business mindset, because you feel like you're the one that should be doing everything right, and it's everyone else's fault. Right. And it takes maturity to get there. So you kept, I think, thinking you could outwork the problems, mm-hmm. stay later, work harder, find the right people, problem solve, and
expecting other people to want the same thing that I wanted when they aren't there in the grind, right? Like, all I needed them for was money, right? And like their connections, let's just hypothetically say, in whatever situation. But then I'm there working my butt off trying to outrun all these problems, you know, thinking I always used to say, like, I know no matter how far I get knocked down, like, I will always end up on top because I know I can outwork every single one of my competitors. I know that I can work harder than all of them. So I always know I'll end up back on top. And it worked, but, like, it was terrible.
What a poor way to have to live.
Seriously. Right? But expecting other people, whether that's your employees, whether that's your partners, whether that's your family, whoever, to care about this endeavor as much as you do is never going to happen because it's not theirs.
Yes.
I mean, they may have a stake in it, but they got other stuff to do.
Yes.
They're not there trying to grind this every single day like you. So how can you expect them to have the same feelings and tenacity that you do?
Correct. And I think one thing too is maybe they have something figured out that you don't.
Yeah.
A balance, right?
Truth.
And that's like, you sit here as an entrepreneur and you love the thing that you do and you want to work every single day to try to build it larger, wherever you're headed. And at some point you have to ask yourself, is this all worth it? Right. And you were talking about something earlier, Michael Sharp, I believe is his name. He's a professional NFL player. He popped up on TikTok for me just yesterday. And he goes, look, I made it in the Hall of Fame. I'm 55 now. I got all these achievements. I've never been married. And he goes, I don't have someone to share this moment where I'm at in life with. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is that ultimately where you're trying to go? For some people, that might be where they're trying to go. It's no right or wrong. But for someone like that of so much achievement to have that reflection at that point in life, it helps you recognize, similar to what you've recognized, is this worth it to build this thing that I'm attempting to build?
And I think in a spirit of transparency, like, you and I have both burned, we've both witnessed each other burn a lot of relationships in the past because of our work ethic and our drive and our yearning and hunger for success and being at the top, you know, and we've both seen it happen with both of us. And I think now that we're older and more mature, we're able to see that and address it a little easier. But when you're young and you're driven and you're an entrepreneur, like, you only got one thing on your mind, you know, and it's not thinking about the person who is, you know, at home waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is something tough to kind of acknowledge. And it is really, really hard for people that are, I mean, especially when you're fresh, man, because you're like just so hungry, you know, and you expect other people to understand that. And I had actually just said to my wife a couple of days ago, I think we might have been talking about you, to be honest with you, but said something about, like, oh yeah, girls always, like, they're like, oh yeah, I love entrepreneurs. Like, that'd be so cool. You're an entrepreneur. Like, awesome. Like, and then it's like 3 months, 6 months into the relationship, they're like, why are you never home? Like, it's like, man, I don't think people really understand what that really means. Like, in real true entrepreneurship, like, it's pretty unhealthy, but, like, that's the truth, you know? So growing past that and being able to have a work-life balance and being able to understand that there's way more in life than just your business is something that all of us have to get to a point of understanding. But, I mean, I'm just saying that because both of us have made plenty of mistakes when it comes to, you know, relationships of any sort because of our businesses.
Yes, yes. And we're still learning. I think that's the amazing thing through entrepreneurship. So let's talk about real growth relation to where you sit today, what you're doing, what's brought you to this point, and how you anticipate being able to continually do your own thing with learning the lessons you've learned in a better way.
How I got here right now is after the sign shops and having my hand in all kinds of stuff. I would say Snappy Stop. Shout out to Snappy Stop. You know, I had gone through enough ups and downs and success and losses and all this stuff that I just was at the lowest low point. And to the outside public, like, it looked like I was still walking on clouds, you know, like business and being a workaholic and all this stuff is weird because it's appreciated by people and it's celebrated by people. And, like, you know, if your Facebook says that you own 10 businesses, like, you're super cool and people want to be your friend, like, none of that stuff matters. But I got to a point where I just knew that it wasn't what I wanted anymore. And I was able to acknowledge all the things that I lost throughout all this driving and all this building, how many relationships I burned and just how much stuff it really actually cost me at the end of the day. And I walked away. I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. I told him that at one point I was just completely sick of who I was, you know, and really just going through a lot of depression and acknowledging the fact that, like, I was not a good boss. I was not a good friend. I was not a good significant other. I wasn't a good son. I wasn't anything. And it really got heavy on me. And I just walked away from business in general, just closed my doors and left. And I was on my hands and knees and I told Jesus, like, I'm done chasing this life that I think that I deserve. And I'm ready to actually see what it is that you have for me, what your actual plan is. And I just quit business. I said, I'm going to depend on you fully. And that's it. Like, your word says that, like, you're going to supply me, you're going to take care of me. So I was kind of testing him, but I was like, I want to see that. And he did. And I always had little jobs pop up if I had bills due, like, hey, can you make me this logo? Hey, can you shoot me this commercial? Hey, can you do whatever? And that kind of sustained me for a long time. And at that point, I dove right into my faith and stuff. And I started working at a church and I started going to a seminary and decided I was done with all this secular stuff. And I just wanted to work in ministry now. I just wanted to be able to live for him. And through that, I was still able to use my design talents and media and video and all that stuff that I do. I was able to use that still. And I got to realize that I can use these talents that he had given me to profess my faith in him and to further his kingdom. And I was able to use all these talents that obviously were God-given in the way that I was truly supposed to. So I did that for 5 years. You know, at first I was just volunteering, then I was making a little bit of money, then I was making a tiny bit more money, then, you know, I was making enough money to pay my mortgage or whatever, but I was never like rolling or nothing, but I was getting by and I was free, you know, like I didn't have all that same pressure and same anxiety and all this stuff that I had for so many years in business. And I genuinely felt free. And I thought I was just going to be in ministry forever. I planned on being a youth pastor or something for like my job. And then things fell into place for a tattoo apprenticeship. And again, I kind of ruled out like working in a secular place anymore, but things kind of fell into place supernaturally for a tattoo apprenticeship. And I knew that, you know, things in the churches were kind of, in my eyes, like, sorry, pastor, but kind of stagnant in the way that, like, you know, you're talking to the same people every week and all this stuff. And I knew there was a whole world out here that I was yearning to reach. And I knew that the tattoo industry was an industry that was rooted in darkness just forever. I mean, it really is, you know, it's really like there's a lot of occult stuff and a lot of really, really dark things that are in the tattoo industry. And I knew that I could use my background, my talents in art and all that stuff to have a ministry in a place that is traditionally a dark industry. And I knew that I could be a light in an industry full of darkness. And that really excited me. And that's where the tattoo shop came from then. I did my apprenticeship. I opened this place a year and a half ago-ish. And I've really used this opportunity to just glorify Christ in everything that I'm doing. And I've always said to people over and over again that this place, before anything else, from the day it was conceived till today, sitting here right now, this place is a ministry before it's anything else. It's a ministry where you can get some cool tattoos done, you know, but at the core of it, my business is a ministry. And that's where, I mean, I think I've grown the most through all this stuff, is being able to let go of the idea that it all matters. It all comes down to me. It all comes down to my talents. It all comes down to my drive and how hard I'm willing to work. I am the cornerstone of all this. That was my idea for so long. And I think that's the idea of many entrepreneurs, And when I was able to let go of that and I was able to understand that it's not just me, then like things really just fell into place for me.
Talk about the apprenticeship, because I think, you know, how did those steps and those people that came into your life, how did that come to be? Because at that point you had given up, I'll say, the hands on the wheel relative mm-hmm. to trying to drive and build your own business. So how did it kind of unfold?
It was really weird, actually. I was at a buddy of mine's shop and we were shooting. I had a little digital ministry thing called Unlikely Disciples, and I had came up with a little micro series that was called Tattoo Testimonies. And it was basically getting Christians who were getting a tattoo and shooting them during their tattoo and then getting a bunch of B-roll throughout that and then having them sit down and tell us about a testimony, tell us their little 3-minute whatever testimony and what the reasoning was behind the tattoo, and kind of bring faith and tattoos kind of together and kind of bridge the gap between what people either think of Christians or what people think of tattoo artists or whatever else, you know, because they're two super, super opposite sides of the world a lot of times. And being able to show people that, you know, it can be the same thing. You can look like this and be a Christian, you know? So that was the idea behind Tattoo Testimonies. And I was there shooting one of those, and the owner of that shop had said that he was going to let some person apprentice. And pridefully, sorry, I was like, that dude's a tool bag. If you're going to let anybody apprentice, let me apprentice. Like, I was just kidding. And he's like, oh, you want to? I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe. So I go home and I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, hey, you think this is so out of left field that I'm like, what do you think about me being a tattoo artist? You think I'd be a tattoo artist? She's like, no. She's like, you always got all these. We were about to have a baby too, like any day. She's like, you always got all these ideas. You got all these ideas, but then you don't follow through with any of them. Now you're going to be a tattoo artist? I'm like, are you don't think I can? She said, no. I texted him. I said, all right, I'll start right away. I said, I'll show you. And now here I am.
And talking about that shop, because I think that's an interesting shop as well. Christianity was already blended in because you were already doing mm-hmm. the testimonies.
Yep. And it was a buddy of mine who we had hosted a Bible study for like 5 years for like before this. And he had gone in and out of like tattoos, he was a tattoo artist, and he left, and then he became a tattoo artist again. And we were still doing the Bible study and stuff throughout this whole thing. And we had a connection there. So yeah, that was really cool too, that like, that's what originally kind of attracted me to that place and kind of opened my eyes also that, you know, I was like, okay, he's got the general idea, but like, I think I could do it better. You know, I'm pretty good at branding and things like that. So I was like, all right, like you definitely got the foundation correct. Like, I appreciate it, but like, now I'm just going to take it to the next level.
And talk about now going through the trials, the tribulation, the growth, the income, the potential you see. Talk about how this chapter will be different in your mind than past chapters of how you build something.
Man, this chapter has already been substantially different in almost every way, because I haven't forced any of it. Like, that's what the big problem was before, I think, is I was always trying to stick a square thing in a circle hole, you know, like I was trying to force whatever it was. And this place, for the first time in my life, is just things have naturally happened, and I haven't had to force anything, and I haven't had to go out and market myself like crazy, and I haven't had to have a separate ad revenue, and really just always thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? Which I think perpetually a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the early stages, are always thinking about, like, how am I going to make this happen? How am I going to get here? How am I going to do this? How am I going to hit this milestone? You know, and when you can just let it go and just have faith that things are going to happen, like, obviously it takes work, but knowing that, like, I can chill out and like have faith in things, have faith in the Lord. Like, I'm trying not to bring this all back to faith, but that's really the biggest difference in this entire place. And I mean, I can truly, truly say that that's the biggest difference, that things have supernaturally happened here for me. I haven't had to worry about anything. And I mean, I say that lightly. I say I haven't had to worry about anything like I used to worry about things, you know, because it used to just be a constant worry. But now things have just happened. And you know, I've got sponsorships and I've been in magazines and things happen so quickly here that like it's supernatural. There's no way to really explain it. I'm 2.5 years into my tattoo career. So like I literally opened my tattoo box for the first time 2.5 years ago. And, you know, I'm here. I've got a beautiful place. I've got multiple artists. I've again been in all those different things and reached all these things that have just happened. People have came to me. I haven't had to search this out. Everything's just happened for me, for lack of a better term. I say that loosely. So I just want to be very clear there that, you know, I work hard still naturally because that's who I am. But things have really happened a lot easier this time because I haven't forced them. Things have just happened because they were supposed to happen.
I love it.
And what was the last part?
So, I mean, that's how is it going to be different? You know, it's like, how do you stay rooted in the mindset that I want things to happen? I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to allow my decisions to lead to a negative word coming out of my mouth that leads to negative actions and vice versa, actions that lead to negative words. Like,
and accountability, I think that's the biggest thing, is that understanding, especially like in this world of digital, like, man, this stuff lives forever. So it's like, and like cancel culture and all this stuff, like you say or do one wrong thing and you're canceled, you know, like you have to be so self-aware these days when you're a business owner, or if you're in any kind of leadership or influence at all, you have to be so self-aware, because all it takes is one single misstep and like everything's gone.
Interesting. Yeah. It is a world of transparency unlike we've ever seen.
It forces you to, I mean, if you're either you're really good at faking it, or you have to make yourself step up to the next level and have more integrity and respect and all this stuff, which is another reason why I think this place works, is that I've just tried to really focus on more integrity than, you know, this industry usually sees, and having a higher standard and stuff. And that kind of rolls over into all the rest of it. But when you're able to live your life with a higher standard of integrity, then it's easier to not mess up like that, you know. But I mean, it took me many, 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 many years, many, many mistakes in order to get here where I feel like I've got it pretty well handled. But yeah.
Talk a little bit just before we sign off, where you're at right now, as far as besides business, just in life, you know, how have you been able to be just a better person? You know, how have you lived your life differently? What's your family situation? I think that's always interesting we always are so focused on the business side of things. What are you growing? What are you building? That aside, how is life?
Yeah, man, life is good. I am extremely, extremely blessed. I, again, have this business that's going great. I've got a beautiful wife who actually just quit her job at Mayo a couple of weeks ago and is working with me here now. That was a big step, trying to give her the ability to do something that she actually loves and cares about and doesn't dread going to work. So we've taken that step. We've got 4 kids, 11-year-old twins, a 7-year-old, 11-year-old twin girls, a 7-year-old son, and a 2-year-old son. So that's busy. Yep, that's a lot. Just trying to live our best life. And that doesn't mean the most money. That just means, you know, the most happiness, the most peace, the most understanding and communication and everything else, man. Just trying to be the best version of us that we really can without having to fake it. Man, that's the biggest thing. When you got peace that you don't have to worry about all that stuff anymore, like, man, that's peace that surpasses all understanding. So no matter how much money you're making or whatever your drive is or whatever you're trying to build, man, you just need to strive for peace, because that is way more valuable.
I love it. This is the Real Growth Podcast. James, thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for sharing about just your trials, your tribulations, everything that you've been through that's led you to today. And I hope that those that are watching or listening, that you can gain something from this. James, I know you're willing to chat with anybody that may be going through something in life. Where can people reach out?
Instagram, I'm James Keller. website's kellertattoo.com. Otherwise, stop in, talk to me. I'd love to meet you.
Thanks a lot.